I've got a cool opportunity how you can start making serious money. Drive with Uber. You know, Uber, the popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. This is Bart Shore, and I use Uber all the time. Love them. And you'll love being your own boss when you drive with Uber. It's great for parents, teachers, students, anyone who needs flexibility, working when you want. You just need a car and a license to get started. Then you'll thank me for telling you how to get paid every week. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com.
The National Sports Collectors Convention, the world's largest sports and entertainment show, is returning to Chicago, open to the public. Over 45,000 sports fans and collectors will converge in the Stevens Convention Center July 29th through August 2nd, with over 100 superstar athletes appearing, including Frank Thomas, Mike Tyson, Jimmy Connors, Hulk Hogan, Bobby Hull, Greg Maddux, and Emmitt Smith, to name just a few. Visit nsccshow.com for more information. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime experience. The Chicago White Sox have thrown 18 no-hitters in big league history. If they do it again August 14th, 15th, or 16th, you might win $25,000 in the Southside No-Hitter Contest presented by U.S. Bank. Go to southsidenohitter.com to register for your chance to win $25,000 should the Chicago White Sox throw a no-hitter in August. Register for your chance to win $25,000 at southsidenohitter.com. U.S. Bank, as passionate about banking as you are about baseball. See website for official rules. U.S. Bank, member FDIC.
MasterCard and Stand Up To Cancer are teaming up. Now, when you use your MasterCard to dine out and pay for a meal of $10 or more, MasterCard will donate to Stand Up To Cancer up to $4 million, one precious cent at a time. So call up your friends and start making dinner plans. Because friends who sit together, stand together. MasterCard and Stand Up To Cancer. Priceless. For more information, go to priceless.com/causes.
Applies to qualifying restaurant purchases made with U.S. MasterCards. PIN transactions ineligible. Stand Up To Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Flo, and this is my impression of a Hollywood acceptance speech. I'm so surprised! I had no idea! I'm not even prepared! Okay. I'd like to thank the Progressive discounts that got me here. Safe driver multi-car, paid in full multi-policy. This is just such a big moment. And did I mention that I'm surprised?
With all kinds of discounts, Progressive helps you save.
Oh, and I want to thank my agent and all my discounts agents because we all have the same agent. Don't start the music!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
We're equal housing lenders.
We are Chicago's original sports talk station. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
It's 3:01 in the Score Update studio. I'm Julie DeCaro. The White Sox have dropped four of their last five, and as the trade deadline approaches, whether the Sox will be sellers has been the source of a lot of speculation. So is manager Robin Ventura thinking about the possible changes to come?
We're going to play on Tuesday. I know everybody wants to talk about it, but we're going to play as hard as we can against St. Louis.
Meanwhile, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports says the Sox are now willing to listen to offers for right-hander Jeff Smarja, but have no plans to tear anything down. That means Chris Sale likely not available to teams inquiring. Sox are off today. They open a series at home against the Cardinals tomorrow. The Cubs, on the other hand, very much in the mix for the postseason. They took 2 of 3 from the Braves and are still in possession of the second NL wildcard spot, but they may be looking to add a bat. According to Peter Gammons, the Cubs are among the teams interested in it from the A's. Cubs open a 4-game set against the Reds tonight in Cincinnati. Clayton Richard takes on Michael Lorenzen at 6:10. The 2015 British Open is in the books, and American Zach Johnson survived a playoff against Mark Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen to take the Claret Jug. Jordan Spieth finished just one shot out of the playoff, ending his bid to win his third major in a row. To soccer, Chicago Fire remain winless on the road following a loss to Columbus last night. The playoffs for the CONCACAF Gold Cup are set. The semifinals will include Mexico against Panama and the U.S. against Jamaica. Those start on Wednesday. And FIFA says they'll choose a president to replace Sepp Blatter in February of 2016. A heckler interrupted the FIFA press conference today to toss a stack of dollar bills at Blatter. He then got up and left. The scoreboard update is brought to you by ChicagoFootball.com, your hub for Bears coverage. Join the Score and Chris Ronji on Wednesday at U.S. Cellular Field at the new Xfinity Zone by Section 112 for the White Sox pregame show. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the Score is tomorrow at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Cardinals on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This are brought to you by Sullivan's Steakhouse.
Scores and Bernstein at it again.
Boers and Bernstein. Afternoons on the Score.
The White Sox get all the irrational exuberance tamped down immediately. So it didn't take long, did it?
That didn't take long. down on your gonads and dismiss you.
There's your Adam Eaton base running, and you're complaining about the umpires and all of the froth, all of the excitement headed into the break. Woohoo, night of 12.
They still can't hit. I mean, I think there's
correct.
A, you know, most of the teams just say, I think we have a chance here. And you look at the standings and say, at least some of them who believe they still are do have the advantage of occasionally being able to hit in the big league. I realize it's not easy to hit at this particular time, but there's still plenty of teams who can.
Right.
And the White Sox are just not one of them.
Right.
Boers and Bernstein, over 15 years on 670 The Score.
Tony and Mattson is on The Score. Hi, Tony.
Hey, you know, you're overstating how bad he is behind the plate. He's not going to cost them more games behind the plate than...
Yeah, it matters more than just pass balls. It's overstated. No, it's not. Not anymore, Tony. Mm-hmm. It matters more than ever.
I think it's overstated.
But it's not, though. Statistically, it's not really an opinion.
Well, it is an opinion. You always do this with everyone. You're not going to do this with me.
Idiot and Bernstein over there on The Score.
Terry Boers.
I go take Tony Nectar.
Dan Bernstein.
I would prefer to own a cat.
What? Let's go to work.
Boers and Bernstein.
Over a cobra, remember?
1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Remember we were talking about that? That's how I didn't want to own the cobra with the neurotoxin. And I can't stand cats.
And I recommended him for you. I don't. Some things I say I don't really remember saying, but I guess I do because I hear him back. 305 Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score, Boers and Bernstein.
We go to the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He is the sports columnist for the Tennessean in Nashville. He's on Twitter at David Clymer, Climer, and he is on The Score. Hi, David.
Hi, good to be with you guys.
Well, we appreciate your time. We were scanning the NFL landscape, as we so often do, even though the Bears are probably not going to play this year. We see only one first-round draft pick not signed, and that is your guy, the number two pick in the draft, and we're just trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Well, maybe it means the Titans aren't going to play this year either. I don't know.
So why are they what's the impasse here? What's going on?
Oh, that phrase that we like to toss around in contract negotiations, offset language. And a quick primer, probably a lot of your listeners understand it, but that's something that would allow a player to double dip at the end of his rookie contract. If say, the Titans sign Marcus Mariota and the offset language has been waived and all, essentially... If he got to year four and the Titans cut him and he signed with another team, the Titans would be on the books for both to pay his contract, last year of his contract, while Mariota would be able to get a full salary from what other team, the team that signed him after the Titans cut him. Now, I think it's much ado about nothing because, frankly, if the Titans have drafted another quarterback who's not going to be their franchise guy going into year four, they've got a lot bigger problems in paying a guy's salary. So I think the deal will get done. It's a matter of who gives, but I'm on record as saying with the Titans already committing so much to Mariota, why not go ahead and waive the offset language and get him signed and certainly don't run any risk of his missing a couple of days, a week, whatever, of training camp.
When I hear reports out of a city where you, no matter where it is, they say, oh, we love him. Just love everything about him. And I'm just conditioned, and maybe you are too, I'm conditioned to kind of doubt the veracity of some of that love. That sometimes, hey, boy, this guy's just terrific. He's better than we even thought. And I'm thinking, really? Are you sure that's true? Do they really like the early returns on this guy as much as they say? Or is that just a matter of convincing themselves that they didn't screw up the pick?
Well, I think certainly they loved him going into the draft, or you don't pick him at number two. So that part of it, I think they're honest about. Now, was he perfect in mini camps and all that, all the OTA workouts? No. He does seem to be a bit more accurate than a lot of people thought perhaps going in. He certainly is a quick study. He's gotten in the playbook. He he doesn't seem to make the same mistake twice. But I do think there's a degree of that, what you guys are talking about. You have to try to convince yourself that you've made the right call, and you probably overstated to a degree. He's a rookie quarterback. He's going to struggle as a rookie quarterback in the NFL, assuming he does indeed get into camp and plays from game one. But you hope you've made a proper assessment, and you hope this guy is your quarterback moving forward, and you hope he gets better with every week. And so, yeah, they probably overstay it to a degree, but when you pin so much on the guy, maybe that's just what you do.
You know what's funny about it, too, is that during the days leading up to the draft, there are other teams also that claim to love him. I mean, I know Ryan Pace of the Bears liked him very much, so there's something. And what I can't figure out is that if you all just love that quarterback more than you should just because he's a quarterback, it's not just the Titans. I mean, I think others looked at him the same way, or at least said, oh, boy, that guy just might be. No, he wasn't going to get all the way back to the Bears at 7. You know, but it seemed like there was others who also were sort of falling in the same line. It could be a trap. I mean, I said, well, of course I'd like this guy. Who wouldn't want this guy? And I think that you mentioned the guy part. I think that's all fine. I think the questions about him as a quarterback are also legitimate. But as a guy, I don't doubt that he's into the playbook and willing and all that other stuff, because that's what you hear about him.
Yeah, I do think it's easy to fall in love with a quarterback who's won the Heisman Trophy and put up all these gaudy numbers and did everything right at Oregon. But, yeah, if you're picking, let's say, number 5 down, the likelihood he's going to fall to you is really stretched. So I think it's easy to say, boy, I really love that guy, but we're sitting here at number 12 and he'll never fall to us. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about Marcus Mariota. He looks the part. He talks the part. He acts the part. It just remains to be seen how he can translate what he did in college into the NFL game. It's just a dramatically different animal offensively, what they're going to ask him to do. Ken Wisenhunt says he's going to modify his offense to fit Mariota's skill set. But there's only so far you can go. Mariota has to become a pocket quarterback, and that's really going to be a challenge for the guy.
And times are just so different now, because you certainly remember that it wasn't that long ago that you actually had an opportunity to develop a first-round pick and say, he's here, but we're not going to put too much on him, and he's going to take some time to get used to the world around him and the rhythm of this game, and eventually he'll be ready to go. And it's just not the case anymore, that now it's we need immediate value out of this pick, and he's going to have to show he was absolutely worth it from the moment he takes that first snap in front of people at practice. And that's just the way of the league right now, and I know it puts an awful lot of pressure on the guys making the pick, and then in turn, the guys who are expected to have somebody ready to go.
You know, they really tried the old way of doing things with Jake Locker 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was the number 8 overall pick. They eased him in. He was, and of course, they were coming off a lockout, so he didn't get to do all the offseason work that Mariota's been able to do over the last few months. But they did the old thing. We're going to sit him for that rookie year and find spots for him to play, and did that work out? No. Jake Locker, for all of his hard work and his commitment and everything else, whether it was injuries or other limitations that we found once he landed in the NFL, it just didn't work out, and he's no longer in football. So you can even try it the old way, but I think given picking someone at number 2 overall, you make the commitment and just ride with him from day one, and that's what the Titans hope to do.
Were people surprised when he announced his retirement? Because I remember looking at that thinking, okay, is this a guy who also has had head injuries? And, you know, we saw the guys in the Niners deciding they just didn't want to do this to themselves anymore. Or was he always somebody who you said, yeah, you know, maybe this just isn't a game he loves all that much?
No, I was stunned. Jake Locker is a committed guy. I think the injuries sort of certainly wore on him, and the way things ended here, they made it clear they were not going to bring him back for a 5th year or so, and even moved away from him. Zach Mettenberger, a rookie quarterback, took over until he was hurt the second half of the year last season. But yeah, I was surprised, and I'll go this far. It's possible, and talking to some people who have spoken to Jake, I have not spoken to him personally, he could recharge his batteries once all the injuries are healed. It's possible he might make another run at the NFL. I would like to see that. He was certainly a good guy to deal with from a media point of view, and no one ever questioned his work ethic. So I'd like to see him give it another shot.
When you mentioned that Wisdom said he's going to change his offense for Mariota, that can be a slippery slope because some guys will say that. And then you get to the end of training camp and you have those internal battles in the coach's room when they have their meetings. And you get one guy saying, well, he can only run this, this, and this. He said, well, that's not my offense. And this guy wants the ball and this guy wants the ball. I just wonder, once a coach says that, he puts himself in potentially an odd position if he's just not able to digest every next thing they try to install.
Yeah, but 2-14 really influenced the coaches to do some things. Yep.
Yes.
You know, and maybe it is lip service. I do think from watching what they did, and again, OTAs are what they are, they did seem to be doing some other stuff, but are they going to spread it out like Oregon and no huddle and do all the motion and movement? That's not Wisenhunt's offense. He's a smart guy. Ken's a smart guy. He's a good offensive coach. He can make some modifications, but you don't throw out the playbook and bring in Oregon's playbook and start anew. So there will be a little give.